Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I am Jonathan Blevins.
I am Katie, Mrs. Ruby. I always say Mrs. Ruby because that's what I am on the interwebs.
She wants you to find her on social media.
She's great. Go follow me on the Instagrams.
She's great at Instagram and she's okay at Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I posted this.
You're actually really funny on Twitter.
I mostly just ask for prayers lately on Twitter, but
yeah, that's depressing.
It is a little, but it's great because they're super efficacious. Like the people who follow me on Twitter are very good prayers.
Yeah,
I'm proud of it.
A lot of priests.
Yeah, but I posted an Instagram reel of my son hiding tiny plastic Jesuses all around our hotel room in Idaho. And my little son went viral. Not really.
Wait, what?
He's got like 25,000 views on him just hiding Jesuses around.
For people to find when they get there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's like what he does in his spare time. My kid's weird.
Okay, that is great and fun. And like, I've been to bars where people will put like Jesus in a urinal.
Yeah.
But not like in the urinal, but like a prayer card on top.
Yeah.
And that's very creative. But I just thought, wouldn't it be really fun to like hide something ridiculous in hotels? Like little, just like 8 M&Ms or something.
Oh.
You just put like random spots where the cleaners won't find them. And then someone's like, why is there just a random M&M here?
So many.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. The one that I liked, he put it inside the Keurig. So when you open it to put the Keurig pod in, you'll be like, ah, there's a Jesus in here. And then he put one on the, you know, there's like metal thing over the door that sort of swings when you open the door.
Yeah,
he put one on top of that. It was really cute.
Or you could put like a little, you could make like a little map, like a little clue thing, like a scavenger hunt.
Sure.
And you hide it somewhere where the cleaning person won't find it and hope that one person someday does. And then you write I somewhere randomly in the room and then C somewhere randomly in the room and then U somewhere randomly in the room. And then the scavenger hunt leads you to each one.
That would actually be terrifying.
That would be hilarious.
I do not want to be in that hotel room.
That would be so funny.
I need a different room, please.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Hey. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about David and Anaconda. Two very similar movies.
Almost identical.
There are anacondas in the Bible.
There were?
Nope.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's South America, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, David. We can start with David.
Yeah, so we're kind of looking at one that's kind of obviously for kids and one that might be a toss-up here. So David is the... one of the newest Angel Studios releases, kind of had a big background thing with it because they had made this whole push to try to get 1 million kids to see this movie for free. So kid tickets were either free or $2, depending on if you had to pay like a convenience fee or whatever, to go see David. I took all my kids to go see it on Christmas Day, actually, which is our family tradition to go to a Christmas movie.
Oh, cool.
And
it's not a Christmas movie, though.
No, sorry. A movie on Christmas is therefore a Christmas movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a...
Interesting. It's like Die Hard. Okay.
Exactly. But we went and saw David, and then you can find it on their Angel Studios app, which is really cool. But it is the story starts with David, the from the Bible, that David, as a young boy, is in the shepherd, getting anointed by Saul and going to the king. Or I'm sorry, getting anointed by Samuel and going to the king Saul. My brain just exploded. Being in that anointed, like, future king kind of role, and how there's like some weird politics there. You get the story of Goliath in there, and then a little bit of David as a young adult, and stops before the Bathsheba story.
Yeah, it stops before any of David's sins.
Yes, before David gets a little like we all do, eventually everybody's gonna sin.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Very cool, but like it's a musical, really kind of a neat story. What'd you think of it?
So it was very good.
Yes.
It's the same studio that made King of Kings, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And I still think King of Kings is to this day the best like Jesus story animated for kids I've ever seen.
That's probably true.
Yeah. It was just so well done.
Yeah.
And I think here's the difference. I loved David, but I took my wife and I took our kids to go see King of Kings because our baby was young enough to just sleep through the whole thing.
Sure.
And now he's not. And so we couldn't, although we could have, because I was the only one in the theater who saw David. There was something magical about watching King of Kings with my kids and watching how enthralled they were, and it made me more into it. But I was the only one in the theater for David, and I was just kind of like, this is weird. But it was really well done.
Yeah.
It was really good. Another home run, I think. And we should just be excited, I think, in general, as Catholics, as Christians, that we're making good content now. There's stuff out there that is made that is explicitly Christian that is actually worth watching.
Yeah.
And even worth watching if you're not Christian, because it's so well done that it's an intriguing story and a good movie. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, and it's a musical. They got the voice talents of Phil Wickham, who is like a well-known Christian artist to voice David doing all of the songs. There's Shalom was
oh my gosh, it was
favorite.
Phil Wickham.
Yeah.
I read that it was Chris Tomlin.
No.
And that's why I was like, it doesn't sound like Chris Tomlin. It's not it was Chris Phil Tomlin. Wickham.
Yeah.
The younger Chris Tomlin.
Younger Chris Tomlin is what happened. Yes. But like my kids left the theater singing the songs that were in there for like the next 3 days. Everything that they did was, I will not be afraid. And my kids are not little kids. Like my youngest is 5, but my next oldest kid is 11.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is only applicable to like the 5 through 7-year-old crowd who might be interested in Bible stories.
Yep.
It's almost as if we just recently realized as a Catholic culture that like our stories are good. Like they're good stories. Go make that story into a movie.
And they're finally doing it. I will say the music I thought was very good. I thought it could have been a little better, but the song, the Shalom song that David goes to sing to Saul when he's all crabby and needs the Lord back in his life, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like the whole scene was really cool. That was my favorite song the whole time. And they brought it back a couple of times throughout the movie. It was fun.
They did a good job with the reprise on that. Yeah. Some of the things that I think they did a really good job of is like the area where he's being a shepherd looks exactly. Have you ever been on pilgrimage?
I have not. I was supposed to go on one with you, but that was not to the Holy Land. I used to have this take, and I know it's a wrong take now, but I was young and stupid when I was working full time for the Catholic Church. And I was like, I don't think I could ever eat Middle Eastern food. And so I just won't go because the food would be so bad. And I've heard some stories about how people don't like it and they get sick, but those are all people who don't like good food. I like good food. So now that I know the food is great, I'm excited to go one day.
The food is delightful. The desserts are not flavored the way you'd think they are. Like 3 different desserts, you're like, that one's strawberry, that one's chocolate, that one's pineapple. None of them. They're all just wrong. You have no idea what flavor any of these are, but it's fine. But like we went there, I went on pilgrimage to the Holy Land in 2019, and I was in that field, that shepherd's field outside of Bethlehem, which is where the shepherds were called to know that infant Jesus was there. And that was where David would have been taken care of. It looks exactly like it looks in the picture.
Like, or in the movie. There was a few scenes where they zoomed out and showed like the whole town.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if that's accurate at all.
It's extremely, extremely accurate. And both, two of the main filmmakers went repeatedly to the Holy Land to make sure that they got those details right. But I was looking at it and I nudged my husband. I was like, it looks exactly like that's dead cool. on. And people don't realize like if you go to that field, there's all these little caves where you can have mass. So my then priest, Father Bauer, shout out Father Bauer, gave us a mass in that shepherd's field in one of those caves. And it's just so cool to see it. They just did such a good job with that. Wow. That's such a detail that they got right.
I love that. Do you have, so at the end of the movie, the director or whatever, the founder of the movie said that this movie took 30 years to make. How?
Yeah,
what do you mean by that? Do you know?
I don't know. I think that it's maybe just a conceptual thing that they were like trying to make it work. I don't know.
I was like, what? 30 years? The story's already written.
So what do you mean? It was several thousand years to make that since that story was written. I don't know what that meant there. I mean, maybe it was the concept. You know how at the end they asked you to like contribute so that more kids could keep going?
Yeah.
It was a wholly crowdfunded movie. Wholly with a W, not the other one. Yep. Although it worked both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were, that was kind of a new concept, and that might have been 30 years in the making, but I'm not sure. But what was wild is that even with all of those free tickets that they gave out for kids, this was the highest grossing biblical animated film of all time, which means it beat Prince of Egypt.
And King of Kings did not beat Prince of Egypt?
No, it didn't.
Interesting.
Which is wild, because like Prince of Egypt, do you remember in like the late 90s, or I think it was late 90s, they had like a Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey song that was on the radio.
Yeah.
From that
Prince movie. Of Egypt, it was great.
Yeah. It was, I mean, nothing against, we've done an episode on Prince of Egypt, I think.
I think so.
So if we go back and watch that one. But like, to know that this beat that is really very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I will say this. So before King of Kings, we're not the kind of family, we probably should be, but we're not the kind of family that like preps a lot for movies or anything. We just go watch a movie.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of time in the day when you have a bunch of kids, you know that. But with King of Kings, which was awesome, you'd have to go through the whole gospel, all four gospels to like get the story of what they're telling there. It's not just a sit down for an hour and like read it. But with David, you totally could. You could read the story of David up until the point where he becomes king, not like after he's anointed, but before all the Bathsheba stuff. And you could read that beforehand and then go watch it. I think we're going to do that.
Yeah.
The kids were unable to come this time, so I was alone. So when it comes out on, do you have any idea when it's going to be out on like streaming services?
It'll be out by the time this episode's out.
Okay, great. Yeah. So we're going to stream it with the family, but we're going to actually read the story and hopefully they get a little bit into it. They've read it before, but you know what I mean? All at once, and then watch the movie and then just have a good family conversation about it, maybe over dinner or something.
Yeah. So then your kids will catch the thing. You texted me while you were watching it. You're like, why does Goliath look like that? And I was like, well, part of it is to make him look like an other, right? So he's completely separate.
It was weird. They all look Middle Eastern and then Goliath is this giant white dude.
It's not that he's not even like white, like European white. He's white, like glowing alien kind of
white. Yeah, like albino white.
I was like, how come you noticed that and not the fact that he had six fingers and toes?
I did not notice that.
Oh, my son was like, why does he have six toes? And that's like a direct reference to 2 Samuel 21:20, which is actually not about Goliath. It's about other giant-like people that were in the region that were probably related to Goliath. But it was just kind of a really cool thing that they stuck in there because it was going to make him even more other, that they could be like, look, he's got six toes, but technically not exactly biblically accurate, but it was kind of a cool detail to throw in.
That is cool. Yeah. I did not notice it. So next time I watch it with Jody and the kids, I'll look for it.
Yeah, it was really neat.
What age would you say David is four?
I think any age can go see this movie.
Nope.
You're wrong.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Okay. So yes, any age could see the movie. However, I do not think that anyone under five is going to be that interested.
I took a five-year-old.
Right. Under five. Like it just is like, it's not, it, it's, I, so I thought it was really, really well done. It's a good movie, but I don't think it was like King of Kings where it's like so captivating the whole time that any age would like it. So yeah. I do think it's appropriate for any age. But I feel like a great age to start, it would be like 5, 6, or 7.
That I would agree with that assessment. It was a little more serious. It was not as, there's nothing slapstick or goofy. The songs are fun and that can carry a lot of kids through, but I think they need to, you're probably right, about 5 for interest. Yeah. But appropriateness interest is going to be fine for anybody.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So there's no, just so we're covering all of our bases, there's no sex, no drugs, no violence, no nudity, and no swearing.
There's slight violence.
Cartoon violence, no blood.
Right.
Yeah.
I gotta have some violence.
Yeah, I guess my 90s brain always thinks violence equals blood and guts. And so like people get hit, like a guy gets hit with the rock goes straight into his head, but it doesn't bleed, like that kind of thing, you know?
And even like when he dies, he just falls over.
He just falls over, yeah.
Yeah, so there's there's nothing super violent about it.
Nothing. I don't think anything that would scare a kid.
Yeah. GG's, that means good game for the non-gamers out there. To Angel Studios for making another banger.
So proud of you guys. You're doing great.
It's really good. All right, now, Anaconda. Let's switch gears completely.
Just for the whiplash of the audience. Okay, so...
Wait, to be fair, I would say that in the last few months, David and Anaconda were the two most previews we would have seen on TV.
That's true.
Right? I mean, it was like all over the place, both of those movies.
That's true. Anaconda, to give you a... plot summary of Anaconda is very difficult. So it bills itself as a derivative of the 90s Anaconda kind of horror thriller movie that was
with Ice Cube and J-Lo.
Where one of the characters in this movie, and I've forgotten everybody's names now because it's just Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd claims to have gotten the rights to remake it, and these are like childhood friends that used to make movies together, and so they're going to go remake Anaconda. They get a budget of like $43,000 together to make this movie, and they go out to Brazil through the rainforest to be able to make this. They get a snake handler and a tennis snake to come with them.
Who's hilarious.
And they're remaking this movie, which is very obviously goofy and campy in their version, but they think it's going to be their big hit to work together. And
technically an Anaconda sequel.
Yes.
Where they're filming a movie about making a fake Anaconda sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At one point in the movie, they pass the Sony Pictures people who are actually making an Anaconda movie and reveal that they never had the rights to the movie. And it was this whole kerfuffle. But this is a pure comedy, like opposite of the original Anaconda, which was a horror thriller.
Yeah.
This was absolutely a comedy. Say things.
I mean, I will say this. I thought it was going to be stupid. I love Jack Black. Mm-hmm. Like I will watch anything that Jack Black is in. I think he's hilarious. I know he only plays like one character, but he plays that guy so well.
Yes.
And he's just absurd. I also love Paul Rudd.
Yes.
There was a movie I think I just saw with Paul Rudd in it though that was awful. What? Oh, it was so, Friendship.
Oh, I turned that off.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Like, it was supposed to be a dark comedy. It was not funny. So like Paul Rudd, that was a miss, but he's great in this. I thought it was going to be like dumb and not funny at all. I could not stop laughing in this movie.
It is so funny.
If you've seen the original Anaconda, and you don't have to have seen it because you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
But if you have seen the original, and I've only seen it one time, it was a long time. It was one of the first like scary movies I saw as like a teenager. And it was a little bit scary. Mm-hmm. Like when you're, you know, snakes, or everyone's afraid of snakes, I feel like. You don't have to see it, but if you have seen it, there's so many Easter eggs from the original in there that it just makes it worth it. If language does not offend you, I feel like this is a movie you have to watch. If you like dumb comedies, I think of Step Brothers or what's the one you mentioned?
The Hangover.
The Hangover,
yeah.
Which are both way more inappropriate than Anaconda.
The language difference, there's as many S words in this one as there is F words in Hangover. So like there's one F word in the movie because it's PG-13, but mostly it sticks to S words.
Yeah, so if you're not super offended by language and you love stupid comedies, this one is absolutely worth a watch. It's one of the best comedies I've seen in a long time.
It was really fun. I'm so sorry to have liked this movie. It's not for kids. Let's start there. Because of the amount of swears, I would call this not for kids. If you can watch it,
kids would be horrified of the snake.
The snake is scary. Like the jump out of the snake. Like, but if we're talking about a high school, middle school age kid, this is where I'm gonna like lose anybody who's super conservative, and I apologize. But if you have a middle school, high school age kid, they've heard all of those words before. Their friends are saying all of those words, even in your very nice Catholic high school, and probably especially, they are saying those words. So your kid has heard them, and it would be really fun to watch with your kid. Like,
yeah, I'd watch it with my high school kid.
Yeah, my high school age son.
I don't have one yet, but I would.
Who is delightful and leaves Jesus's all over hotel rooms would love this movie. It's so silly. Like, the only thing that's bad about it, there are some drug references. There's no sex, no nudity. There is violence in the form of a snake, and there's some gun violence.
Some gun violence.
Yeah.
Some blood.
And a lot of swears, but the comically swears. I don't know. Like, at the very beginning, they show this movie they made as kids where they had to bleep all the F words. And it's just silly because like every other word is bleeped. And if they had done that with this movie with the S words, it would have been a similar situation. But again, I'm not easily offended by swears. And I think that the bonding experience you can have with your kid over a movie that's not, there's nothing true, good, or beautiful in this movie.
Right.
But it's also not political. It's not pushing an agenda. It's not anti-religious. I don't know. There's something to be said there for a bonding moment.
Yeah. In high school, if you're into that kind of thing. And if you're just a parent who is not offended by language at all and you want to laugh, it's funny. It's so dumb. It's really funny. It's supposed to be dumb.
I don't know if it would still be funny without the swears, but try it with like VidAngel or something and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this. Like, I saw it yesterday. I was able to have a great conversation with my kids because we just watched Minecraft, which stars Jack Black, and we're going to be doing an episode on Minecraft here soon. And my kids have seen 1,000 Anaconda previews during football and basketball and hockey games that we watched together.
Yeah.
And so they know that Jack Black's in it, who they fell in love with in Minecraft. It's the only Jack Black movie my kids have seen. And when I got home, they were like, I forget his name in Minecraft.
Steve. But
Steve. Yeah. How was Steve, Dad? And we had this whole conversation. And they feel like they'd already seen the movie because in the previews, you already see that Jack Black is spit out by the Anaconda. You already see they tie a pig to his head. And so they think he's dead. They're like, is he alive? Is he dead? Is Steve okay? Was he funny? Was it everything you wanted it to be? We had this great conversation about Jack Black.
Yeah. I actually had not watched the previews as much as you have. I've seen them, but like I usually go to the bathroom during previews or during like commercials. So I had not watched all the previews. I didn't expect Jack Black to get eaten by the snake.
It was so funny. It was unreal.
It was pure funny in a way that wasn't offensive. It wasn't, I mean, other than the swearing, it was really good. I had a great time with it.
Got decent reviews too, by the way. So we're saying not for kids, potentially for high schoolers. My oldest is 10, so I'd wait 4 or 5 years anyway. So
yeah, I would say a 15-year-old boy would absolutely love this movie. I texted John in the middle, was like, I know you are having a great time right now.
And it was.
It was fantastic. But again, no sex, no. There is drug and alcohol references. There's one character who's clearly got an addiction problem. Violence in the snake, no nudity, and lots of swears.
There you go.
That's what we have. Hey. There's a lot of content for us to wade through as parents.
I'm Jonathan Blubbins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?